Hallelujah. You ready to go for round three? Ding, ding, ding. Hey, I think it's very apropos and very excited. I was just sitting at the table here and somebody was sharing a really cool testimony. And Amanda, can you share that real quick, what you just shared with me? Okay, come on up here. Interesting scenario that she just told me about that really is intertwined through what we were just talking about. So, Amanda, will you share?
So I was telling my friend Carol that a while back, like in my... Now you can hear me? Okay. I was telling my friend Carol a while back in my journaling time with the Lord. I just write in my journal and I just, you know, whatever I hear, I write. Nobody else is going to read it. I'm the only one who's going to read it. So I don't really like try to think too hard about what I'm writing. I just let it go. And one day in my journaling time, God was speaking to me that he calls me Amanda, not Mandy. And it's funny because I changed my name in high school to Mandy instead of Amanda because I always got teased. And I was just telling this lady over here that I just met the same thing. And so I'm telling Carol this. I'm like, there's power in our name. And when I would go to introduce myself to people after he started calling me Amanda, I couldn't say, I would say, hi, my name is Mandy. And then the Holy Spirit would speak to me, that's not your name. And so I started telling people that I meet, you guys all know me as Mandy, but I started telling people that I meet is Amanda, because that is really my real name. And so then I was talking to this lady, Jessica, here, and she said her and her friends were sitting here at the table before Renee came up today and talking about the power of the name and like how our names have meanings. And so we're just sitting here discussing the same thing, and so were they. And then all of a sudden Renee comes up here, and she starts talking about the power of our names and like how God changes our names, or yeah, so pretty neat.
Wait, you gotta tell them what your name,
name.
That's the whole, yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. My name means lovable or worthy of love. So.
What's interesting is she changed her name to Mandy. It was worthy of love, but she got teased, other people started teasing, and you changed your name, right, yeah, to Mandy. And the Holy Spirit spoke to her and said, that's not the name. I am lovable, Amanda. Amanda, I am lovable. Isn't that beautiful? Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. New name. Well, it's an old name, but now a new name, so that's really good. We're talking about power in the genes. This is going to be a beautiful, I might need some tissues, time. In the Lord, I get so sappy. I'm so sappy sometimes. But let's look at this scripture verse. Peter replied, Acts 2, 38, 39, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children. For who? You and your children. That's what your genes, yes? Not your jeans that you wear, but okay. And for all who are far off, mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, for those who are far off, for whom the Lord our God will call. We're focusing to this session on power in the genes. Not jeans that we wear, but genes, G-E-N-E-S, yes. Do you know the jeans, like Levi jeans, were made like in the 1880s, and now they are like all over the world. You can go anywhere. Everybody knows what jeans. Everybody's looking. Okay, hold on. Wait for me. But here we go. Let's just look at the PowerPoint. Let's just skip to that. In fact, I was going to say this. You know what? When I was in college, you know how they turn people, the most likely to do this, most likely to do that. Okay. You know what they turn me? It's quite humorous. The most likely to wear jeans at our wedding. True story. That was in college. But you know what? When the Lord put me in ministry, and I was a children's pastor at Central Assembly of God Church in Green Bay, Wisconsin for 8 years. And what was so funny is that I was on staff there. I didn't even think about it, but I wore slacks pants all the time, dress pants a lot, you know. And then Sundays, I wore dresses. Now, that was back some time ago, okay. And actually, 20 years ago today. February 11, 1997. Isn't that something? Today is kind of a neat day for me. But anyway, I was wearing slacks. So to one time, I actually showed up at church. I think we were doing some kind of missionettes fundraiser, or girls ministry fundraiser. It was missionettes back then. Fundraiser. And I showed up at the church. One of the kids that was in the children's ministry at the time looked at me. Her name is Teresa. I'll never forget. She goes, Pastor Renee, you're wearing jeans. And I thought it was so hilarious because I never thought, wow, they have never seen me in jeans before. And it's so funny because from like college, you know, most likely wear jeans at her wedding, and that hasn't happened yet. But what has happened is like the total turnaround. But here, let's look at that thought. Everyone has blue jeans, but everyone is clothed in Levi's. So I'm sure Levi Strauss & Company would want all families to be decked out with their powerful label. There is power in the jeans. Every parent, let's look at that one. Every parent should have the desire to see their offspring live in the power of God's Spirit. Hallelujah. To see his strength and his power carried from generation to generation. His power in the generation. You get it? Generation. Let's look at that. Offspring, what does offspring mean? Offspring, that was springs up, comes forth from the earth. Descendants, children, those who spring forth from the bowels. You know, it, when they talked about love and the Bible, it actually means in the bowels. Yeah? That's the seat of our emotions. That's where a lot of things sit. Think about it. A lot of things move. Jesus was moved with compassion. You look at that, and sometimes that's a seat of emotion, you know, in the bowels. It also means to groan, but we'll learn that Sunday. It's a really interesting scenario there as well. But a seat of emotion is generation. Listen, what does that say in Hebrew? It's an age, generation of men, as if the period and circuit of the years of life go round and round. Here is a scripture verse that I love in Psalm 71, 17 and 18. Since my youth, do we not have the verse, since my youth, Psalm 71? Is that, go back? Guess not. I love this verse. It's in Psalm 71, 17 and 18. It says, since my youth, O God, you have taught me, and to this day I declare your marvelous deeds. Even when I'm old and gray, I'm a little more chemically dependent right now, so hair-wise, that is. Even when I'm old and gray, do not forsake me, O God, till I declare your power to the next generation, your might to all who are to come. I don't know about you, but I so want to see the next generation to see the power of God displayed in their lives. We need it. We desperately, desperately need it. And this is not to glamorize, now that PowerPoint, this isn't to glamorize youth in any way. They don't need to be glamorized, okay? This is to generate a genetic blessing that pulverizes hell and permeates with power the fame of the name of Jesus in the earth, long after we have passed. Can I get a hallelujah? We don't want children to succeed before their time. We don't want any preemies, okay? We want them to be strong in the Lord so they can handle the turbulence of life. Yes? And the twists and the turns of life. You know, I'm sure most of you, if you're on Facebook, you probably heard a lot about the millennials. You know, and the millennials, they are prone or have a bent to think that by a certain age bracket, they should have it all. The high corporate job, all right? All the bells and whistles, making so much a year. They have superficial friends and things to where the point, if they're invited to go somewhere else, was to go out to eat with someone, they know that probably that person could probably drop them to go to a better dinner somewhere else, that they won't be able to count on that person. And so what you have a lot of millennials and a lot of the younger generation that are growing up that are depressed, oppressed, anxious, because they feel like they're just losing all control from what they perceived might be. The great news about it is this. They so want to be mentored and trained and have somebody come alongside them to show them the way. So I'm thinking, you know what? Right now is the time for the church to arise and great power and might. And you know what? Some of you guys, I got to watch myself. Some of you guys know what it's like to see the power of the Lord move in glorious ways, signs, wonders, and miracles. We don't focus on those. We focus on Jesus. But you know, when we do that, those things naturally kind of flow, don't they? Yeah. And some of you have some stories to tell. And some of you might even, have this, you know, alternative imagination of things that it used to be. Oh, should I even go there? This is not in my notes. Of the way things like used to be. And you're thinking maybe this thing that used to be should come into where things are now. But you know what? God has something new for us. And greater things. We can take the old and mix it in with the new. But what you have is you have great power and influence in you. Everybody that's of the older generation, and I'm getting up there myself, I realize how important it is to speak into the younger generation. And the things that I've known and the things that I have learned, to speak into their life and to teach them and train them, bring them under your wing. Yes? We desperately, desperately need that. We need to declare his power to the next generation. What does declare mean? It means to announce, to tell, to make known, expound. Your power. I had to do an emoji there just for fun. Forearm, shoulder, or strength. You're supposed to declare, speak forth power and his might. His force, valor, victory, might to the next generation. We are examples. The Bible says we are living stones. Now, let me give you a little background in all of this. Historical background, which I think is very, very unique. Back in Bible days, like in New Testament days, there's a difference between the two different cultures that were there. You have the Greek culture that was all about them, me. Huh, they could probably be really good at the selfies. They were all about the drama, the arts, all that kind of thing, the Greek culture, intellect. And then you had the believers that were not about me. They were more of a community of people that gathered. The Greek culture, they believe in different gods and goddesses. In fact, there was a temple that was made out to the Greek goddess Athena. Beautiful structure that was there. Am I like going off? Oh. Okay, let's just go back to the previous slide, and we'll get to that one. You're doing great. And so they made this temple, Athena, huge, massive structure. And you know what? They didn't bring anybody in to make their temples to their gods and goddesses. They sought out handy craftsmen to come in and to build the temple. Now, here you have this huge monstrosity of a beautiful site in this temple that worships gods and goddesses, the goddess Athena. And you had an architect that actually came in, and what they did was they carved out stones for that temple. So literally, the architect would go and find a stone and chisel it and number it. Each one was numbered. And then each one would be picked up and actually have a place in that temple. So everyone had their place. Now, within the temple as well, they used to serve food and everything. So they could tell and testify how great the goddess Athena was and how Athena provided and all that Athena had done for them. So here you have this massive structure, this beautiful temple, worship God. And you know what? The Greeks, that's what they did. And then you have those who are believers. And what are they meeting in? They're meeting in a home. And a community of people. Now, can you imagine if you have a young child, some of you do, walking down the street, they have friends, and probably their friends are going to be Greek friends. And what if their friends invite them to go to their temple? That sometimes happens, right? So even if they're just walking by and they're observing this like beautiful thing, a kid, a younger generation, would maybe have the thought, wow, look at that. That's the building that they have for their God. Wow, look all that's in it. Look at the beauty of it all. And then they come back to their home. Where's the place for the God that we talk about? Where's the beauty in this place? Because this is a small home. We don't have much glamour here. Think about that. Interesting, isn't it? And think about how God says, you know what? Now we can go to that verse. Oh, okay, yeah. Now I'm going to go to the verse. There you go. The Most High does not live in temples made by men, as the prophet says. Heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. What kind of house will you build for me, says the Lord? Or where will my resting place be? Has not my hand made all of these things? Now here even God is saying that. Where's a place for me? Athena had a temple. Where's the place for God? Go to the next one. Listen to me, you who pursue righteousness and seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were cut, the quarry from which you were hewn. You know what? That's what happened to the architect with the Greek. The believers knew how they built temples to their gods and goddesses. And here God is speaking to their culture, saying, you know what? You've been cut individually and numbered, each and every one of you. And you guys have a very specific place in my temple, which is not made by human hands. This guy comes and chisels and numbers. But God is the one that chisels you out and crafts you. And each one of you are uniquely different. And you house the temple of God's Spirit in you. So, when any child says, where does God dwell? Where is God's power and his blessing? They would say the power and blessing is in Jesus. And I see Jesus in Dorian. Did he say it right? In Dorian. The power and the blessing are with Jesus, and I see Jesus all over Joan. You know, many of us, and you know what? We could say, you know what? God, I know God's our provider because God is providing for Jill. Look how God has provided for Jill. Look at all that she has been through. Yeah, it might not be a temple or a structure like the Greek temples back then, but you know what? I'm watching her. And I'm watching how Sister So-and-so, yeah, she's very seasoned and she's up there in age, but she has been through a lot and she's been faithful. And I've watched her. And you know what? I see Jesus housed in her life. Hallelujah. Well, I know many of us ladies, have you ever put a puzzle together? Anybody ever put a puzzle together? Yeah. What's so funny is sometimes we put the pieces together, we think that we have that spot for our puzzle piece because it looks about the same and it looks like it should fit. And you know what? What you do is you try to press it down and force it in there, right? And it buckles. Oh, how we want to compare ourselves with somebody else and put ourselves in the big puzzle picture to be like someone else. To compare ourselves with others, you know? We're not to compare, are we? No. Because each one of us are numbered. We're trying to fit in someone else's spot. And you know when you fit in someone else's spot, the whole big picture is not complete, is it? And here's the thing. There's a spot specifically for you, for your puzzle piece. No one else can take your, and that should release you from the comparison trap. Yeah? No, but you know, somebody can try to fit you in and mold you like someone else and try, but you know what? That puzzle piece of the world is not going to be complete unless you slide into your own unique spot. But nobody else can take your spot because it's uniquely designed for you. The architect comes over and he chisels out a spot in the temple, numbers it specifically for you. And you know what? If we're not all stacked together and working in our pieces, there's a bunch of runs that are on the ground. And that's not, God does not intend for us to be runs. That doesn't glorify him, does it? Where am I at? Okay, well, he lived in the people, in that community, in the house church. His presence and power moved in and through the people. Hallelujah. He should move in and through us. Okay, now go to the, they declared how great Jesus, there you go. I'm ahead of myself. They declared how great Jesus was by their love, community, power, his presence, and blessing. If you came in contact with him, you came in contact with the presence of God. We're supposed to be carriers and couriers of his presence and power and impart that to the next generation so there will be power in the genes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, you know what? The power and blessing, where did that come from? The power of the blessing actually came from God first. In Genesis 1:28, it says, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. A blessing was a public declaration of a favored status with God. And God actually looked at Adam and said, you know what? I created you and I say you are good. Oh, how some of our kids and some of us need to have someone say, God created you and you are good. Did God know Adam and Eve were going to mess up? The Bible said he was slain before the foundations of the earth. He knew they were going to have a choice, yet he still spoke into their life. And he's not speaking into what he sees. He is foretelling of what they can what become. There's power in that. We need to impart that into the next generation, yes? Point to ponder. We need to, we want to speak blessing instead of cursing. We don't want to cast a shadow of thorns representing the curse with our words, do we? We talked about that just earlier. Let's skip ahead to the powerful prayer of blessing and what that includes. Let's talk. Now, some of you might be a little uncomfortable with this, but you know what? Deal with it. Here we go. I really filtered that well, didn't I? Sometimes I'm better at that, and sometimes I'm not. It's a personality thing. Okay, meaningful touch. Laying hands on somebody, kissing. This is healthy, okay? Like a kiss on the head we're talking about. Hugging are all biblical bestowments of the blessing. And Jacob did this with his sons. Jacob's dad. Help me, somebody. Isaac. Thank you. Isaac did this with his son Jacob and Esau. Okay? And what they did, they powered the blessing. This is so unique. They used to come, and the father, before he passed, not saying you guys are going to pass anytime soon, but they laid hands on them and gave them a blessing. Now, I have to tell you this story. In India, they greet people rather differently and bless one. And you can tell you if you're real tight with someone by the way they greet you and how they treat you. And in other areas, other states, it's a little different than others. I'm trying to look at somebody who wouldn't feel very uncomfortable with this scenario. Here, thank you, Lisa. Come on up. So, I don't think she'd feel too bad. Okay, so you know what? In India, how you greet here, you know, you kind of greet with a handshake or you greet with a hug, right? All right. Well, in India, if you're kind of really tight and they kind of go like, you know, they do it like a kiss on the side. She comes up, she goes, it's like this whole sniffing vacuum. She was sniffing me out on each side. Thank you. You're so good. And I was like, woo, I have to say, very rarely if I'm caught off guard or I'm speechless. But at that point, you know, she came up and I said, thank God I wore some perfume before I came to the church that I could just... and I found out later that that's how they kind of greet. And that's kind of how they do that. And it's kind of more of a little more of an intimate blessing, like loving on you type thing. So I was like, oh, okay. I received the blessing. But literally, there is something very unique. You know what science says? Science actually says when you lay hands on somebody that it really elevates the hemoglobin levels in your body. Now, this is just science, okay? This says it raises the enzymatic level as well as the hemoglobin level. And that's just practical science. Can you imagine when we lay hands on people and pray a prayer blessing on them when it's a supernatural God impartation, how powerful that is? That's incredibly powerful. And in the Jewish family life, they still carry on this. Like after a baby is born, they go and they speak a prayer of blessing, the parents do, over the child. Then once the child reaches a certain age, on the child's own volition, they come to the father or the mother and they literally bend down and they request and ask for the prayer of blessing over them. It's interesting then to know that Jesus said, let the children come unto me and do not hinder them. And what did he do? He placed his hands on them and what? Blessed them. He welcomes them. We can learn from that, can't we? Also, let's do the Mary and Elizabeth thing. What happened? Here you have the angel of the Lord coming to Mary, about maybe 12, 13 years old, right? And says, greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you. The Holy Spirit will come up on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Woo! What a blessing. What a verbal affirmation from God. But there's nothing like being highly favored, filled with the Spirit, yet brutally talked about, and on the verge of divorce from her fiancé. Seriously, did you think about it that way? That's what happened, isn't it? Isn't that how it goes sometimes? The Lord blesses you, and woo, get a tremendous blessing. Then all of a sudden, it's just like, whoa, there's like turbulence in the atmosphere, right? Here's a point to ponder and something to sink in. You can be approved by God, yet attacked by men. Carrying God, yet dropped by man. So therefore, how important is it for someone that is older than you, parent, surrogate parent, an example, authority figure, or whatever, for someone like Mary to go and visit Elizabeth. And during that tumultuous time, Elizabeth saying unto you, blessed are you who has believed the word of the Lord. To remind her, Sandy, isn't this what we talked about yesterday? Where are you? To remind her of what the word of the Lord was spoken over her. Blessed are you who has believed what the Lord has told you. Do you think Mary needed that? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And then Mary burst forth and said, both of them were mutually edified and encouraged. In fact, it says that Elizabeth spoke out in a loud voice. Some of you might be a little, you know, uncomfortable with that. But she exclaimed that. Here's a point to ponder. Elizabeth didn't let her feelings of inadequacy impair the impartation of the blessing. Let's just read that again. Elizabeth didn't let her feelings of inadequacy impair the impartation of the blessing. And Mary didn't let her feelings of potential rejection hinder her resolve for relationship. I think that's a powerful thought that's there. Because you know what? Many older ladies within the church think, what do I have to offer that young, intelligent, whippersnapper, get it girl, get it all done girl? What is there that I have that I can? How many has ever felt like that? You're honestly. Yeah. But you know what? We have to get past the feelings of inadequacy. in a parent, because really what the generation, next generation wants is just somebody to be there for them and somebody to listen to them. Yes? And also, the young ones, Mary, didn't let her feelings of potential rejection, you know, I don't know if I can approach that person because that person, you know, I just think so much of, and I don't know. I feel so easy. I would like to connect with that person, but, you know, I don't want to be rejected. How many's ever felt that way before? Yeah? Well, it's something to ponder, isn't it? Don't let your feelings of potential rejection hinder your resolve for a great relationship. Does that make sense? Yeah. Mary speaks prophetically and says, his mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with her arm. A prophetic, older, seasoned lady speaking prophetically, and then Mary getting that impartation and speaking prophetically into her generation, declaring that they're blessed. Hallelujah. We need to catch wind of this, don't we? Yes. And Titus 2, many of you probably familiar with the verse. It says, likewise, teach you older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to too much wine, but to teach what is good. Then they can train the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, and be subject to their husbands so that no one will malign the word of God. I find it interesting in this verse that it says nothing about married people teaching the younger people. Although, historically, that might have been so, but Paul didn't put that in there. Don't think just because you are married, you're going to be able to speak into somebody else's life that maybe is married. Yeah? God has given, like I said the other night, an innate ability for every woman to be a nurturer and that umbilical cord of life to speak into someone. And here, it doesn't say married or not married. And you know what? Point to ponder. It's hard to pray about what God commanded. He says we're supposed to do it. Yeah? And so I'm like, well, you know, I'm going to pray about witnessing to that person. I'm going to pray about going to church. God says what? For the older to teach the what? Younger. And it's what? A command. And it's hard to pray about God's commands. Do you necessarily have to pray about that? I just don't know if I should just speak a word of blessing into that young person. Let me pray about that. Lord, do you think we're supposed to do it, aren't we? Yes? And know that God can give you designer jeans. Specifically designed. He can design a special person to fit into your life so you can, by God's power, generate a powerful blessing of impartation. A supernatural impartation always trumps the natural. Whatever's happened naturally, whether good, bad, and the ugly in your life, whatever family scenario you're in, I'll tell you what, a supernatural blessing, a supernatural family can trump that. Hallelujah. So not sure if you're prepared for this or not, but, you know, it doesn't matter because we're going to do it. We are going to pray a prayer of blessing over each other. How many of you have daughters that are here? Raise your hand. You have biological daughters. Raise your hand. Okay, spiritual daughters. Try that again. Spiritual daughters. Okay, let's try that again. Spiritual daughters. Well, that's a little better. What we're going to do, some of you might feel a little uncomfortable about this, but you know what? It's a very powerful thing. We're going to connect some older ladies with some younger ladies. And just so you're not nerve-wracked as, what do I say? What do I do? I do have copies for all of you actually to take home to speak over your own kids, okay? or your future kids that you will have, or your spiritual kids, which I am a spiritual mama, and I'm proud to say that. I'm all giddy about that, actually. And so you know what? You can speak this prayer of blessing over them. Now, we're also going to do like a blessing of the parents or the authority figure that's over you that is going to be praying for you. You're going to get a blessing too, and you're going to be prayed for as well. Hallelujah. Now, let me show you how this will work in just one moment. Yeah, in just a second. Okay, you're good. You're proactive rather than reactive. Where are you at? Sweetheart, come on up here. I asked for her to help me out here. Go back to the blessing. Oh, great. I can read that very well, but we'll work with it. So I've told this dear girl here, Kayliana, is that right? Okay, sorry. Jesus, help me. Come right over here. Now I'm going to show you guys how this works. I'm going to be an example, okay? And I'm going to read that, but you guys are going to get a piece of paper, so, you know, you can adjust any way you need to adjust. But I'm going to try and read this here, and just to see how powerful this is. I'm going to lay my hand on her, and I'm going to pray. Listen, she is not my biological child, but I'm just adopting her today, and I'm speaking a prayer of blessing over her. She's the next generation. I watched her Wednesday night in youth group. She is very attentive, and her heart is yielded to the Lord enough for her to come to this today. That's powerful. And I want to speak a blessing over her, all right? And this is what we're going to do. And I'm just going to say, your life is covered with the goodness of God. God has plans for you, great plans. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. You will live in the shadow of the Almighty. God is your refuge, your fortress, and in Him alone you will put your trust. God is your shield, and you will not fear the terror of night. God is your confidence, and even if 10,000 fall at your side, it will not come near you. God is your dwelling and your very great reward. The angels have been given charge to guard you in all your ways. The blood of Jesus covers you, and the enemy is not allowed to touch you. The Holy Spirit lives in you and intercedes for you with groans and words it cannot express. In Jesus' name, you have the divine protection of God over your life and soul. I bless you in every good and perfect gift from above. Like Noah, you will be faithful in your generation and follow God's leading. Like Moses, you will walk in humility and live in the glory of God. Like Abraham and Sarah, you will trust in God's promises. Like David, you will know the Lord is your shepherd. Like Solomon, you will walk in the blessing of your father and excel in wisdom. Like Daniel, you will surpass your contemporaries. And like the disciples, you will know Jesus in a genuine way. You will see the signs and wonders of God. You will perform the signs and wonders of God. And you will reach nations with the gospel. I bless you as a child under authority. You are clothed in the Holy Spirit and covered with the armor of God. No weapon formed against you will prosper, and you have been set apart for such a time as this. You have wisdom to solve mysteries, and you have been given a mind to learn, understand, and apply. You have health in your bones, and no sickness, disease, or infection shall touch you. From your inner man, a river of living water flows, and I speak over you that you will live with that understanding daily. In Jesus' name, I declare God's commands make you wiser than your enemies, for they are ever with you. You have more insight than all your teachers, for you meditate on His statutes. You have more understanding than the elders, for you obey His precepts, and you will keep He will keep your feet from every evil path, so that you might obey His word, according to Psalm 119, 99 through 101. You are a chosen person and a part of God's royal priesthood. You will have dreams and visions from God and God alone. You will prophesy with accuracy, and you will bring havoc on the enemy's kingdom. Like Jerusalem, you are the apple of God's eye, and you will not walk in fear. You, my child, are righteous and as bold as a lion. I declare this over your life in the matchless name of Jesus. Amen. Amen and amen. You would want somebody to pray that type of prayer blessing over you. Can I just... How many of you want this? You're like, yeah, I pray it over myself. There's also a prayer for blessing, so that the younger, is actually going to bless you. It's a parent's, but you know what? We're just going with the authority figures, yes? So it's going to be reversed. That's what we're going to do here, okay? So for those of you that you have a special connect, okay, you're going to connect with your mothers if you have them here, all right? It's going to be a beautiful thing. And I get all verklempt about all this stuff. And if you don't, you know what? There's an atmosphere of adoption here today. And some of you might have to do two at once, and that's okay, isn't it? No one left behind. Okay, now, Lisa, thank you. You guys can come. And I have 77 of each of these. So everybody gets one. All right? Yes, we can do one of each, because I think a lot of people would like to have that just because. Pray over their children, grandchildren. Yeah? And I know some of you probably right now feel really, and he's great. Wow. Okay. Who's going to pray over me? Who am I going to? That's okay. You're getting that uncomfortable feeling, but it's all going to be good. You can make it. So we need Elizabeth to initiate the blessing. So for those of you, okay, first of all, for parents and daughters, why don't you team up right now, biological that are here, already here. Maybe have a few of those. Okay, so they're already teamed up. Okay, now, for those of you that are, you know, more seasoned, okay, I need you to initiate here. You go around and you find the younger right now to bless. The Lord is drawing you to someone. You do that. Nobody gets left behind. Come on, tables need to have nobody. You might have to do more than one. You might do two at the same time. Both hands up, okay? Let's look around. I need the women's ministry leaders actually to team people up if you can do that. You guys probably know people more than I do. No one gets left behind. Everybody has somebody speaking a blessing, praying a prayer, a blessing over them. Okay? Some of you might have to take a couple in. Okay? Somebody's saying over here, we need to make sure nobody gets left behind. Over here. Nobody gets left behind. Everybody's got someone. It's got to be older. I mean, and then even if you're same age, somebody's older. Oh, right? Okay. Older Elizabeth, okay? Now's a prayer blessing over the younger, okay? Make sure you do it loud in their ears so they can hear it clearly and distinctly after they're done. You pray that prayer blessing over them. Let's do it. Come on, uncomfortable. Grab their hand. Lay your hand on their shoulder, on their forehead. Get past the uncomfortableness. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.